Right. I got 15 minutes to try to give you my worldview and to try to tell you everything I know. That only takes five, so let me go real quickly here. I think to really understand agriculture looking forward, we really kind of have to look backwards. And so I think it's really important. What I want to do for the first part here is to kind of take a look backward as to how we got to the place we got this last summer with the record prices. What are those dynamics have changed and what we might look to into the future? So I think over the last 20 years, there's been, in my mind, one dominant trend in the marketplace that's really moved markets and changed agriculture, and that's been the consumption of protein, principally the consumption of meat in the world, principally in Asia. And so what's happened over the last 20 years? Population over that period of time grew about 30%. And then if you look at the consumption of individual commodities in the world, wheat consumption only went up 26%. Coarse grains went up 38%, but if you take out the bioenergy portion of that over the last 3 or 4 years, it basically kept pace with population growth also. Rice growth was up only 34%. But then you start looking at soybean meal, which grew 150% over that same period of time. That really tells the story of how agriculture has changed. And so where arable land hasn't changed that much in the last 20 years, we haven't seen that much of a growth. What was happening over this period of time, as countries like China were balancing rations to try to produce, to shorten the life cycle of the hog, to produce more meat, the world was substituting oilseed acres for grain acres. And as long as yields were going up, it was okay. We didn't really have a problem. But then things really dramatically changed beginning in the latter part of 2006. And so I want to talk about four factors over this last short period of time that I think produced the record prices that we saw this last summer, and then some of the dynamics, the changes in those factors that led to the really break in prices here. So the first factor that came into play later in 2006 was the beginning of a reduction of stocks as we saw yields plateau in most of the other grains. Kind of began in 2006 with the first Australian drought, where we lost about 12 to 14 million tons of wheat production in a 3 or 4 week period of time. That really was the first domino that began to fall that really tightened up the supply situation. And that we had another drought in 2007. We started to see mandated levels of bioenergy usage, which really tightened up supplies of all commodities. The second major factor that really came into play, at the very time that we saw that first drought in Australia, we saw petroleum prices go above $75 a barrel for the first time. So what did that stimulate? That stimulated these additional mandated programs for bioenergy usage. In the U.S., we went from 7.5 billion gallons renewable standard to 15 billion. Europe went from a 5.75% renewable standard to moving towards a 10% renewable standard. And a lot of other countries started to introduce mandated levels. So that was the second domino that really fell that started to push prices higher. So what have we seen since last summer? We've seen a break in the petroleum price. Today we're sitting around $47 a barrel, and that will be a dominant factor moving forward here. So the third major factor over the last couple of years that I think really changed markets were the currencies. Dan Zwicker's already talked about currency rates. That was an important issue because as we saw at that same period of time when you saw the petroleum go above $75 a barrel, the drought in Australia, we were trading the euro at about $1.26 per euro. Now we went up at that period of time when we took oil prices to $150. We took that relationship to $1.6. So that basically gave consuming countries about a 25% break in terms of their buying power. Prices didn't go to the same levels for them, and that was another reason why we pushed prices that much higher last summer. And then the last factor of the four that I think are extremely important was the outside investments, principally the index fund money that came into the markets over this last summer. We saw the number of contracts owned just by the index funds in corn, over 450,000 contracts last summer, and over 200,000 contracts of soybeans. And where are they today? They're about half that level, and you have to ask yourself the question, do we have the motivation, is there a pool of money sufficient to take us back to the levels we were last summer? And I would suggest that that money is not there and that they're rethinking some of the investment levels. So of those four factors overlaying that long-term trend of increased meat consumption, where do we go in the future here? And so what we're looking at is that all of those four factors, basically those have all turned somewhat bearish, and that's why we've seen the big break in prices. So where do we go in the future? The long-term trend that I mentioned that's been in place for the last 20 years, I think is now changing. And as we come out of this recession worldwide and consumption levels kind of come back, what are we going to be looking at in terms of this long-term trend, the increase in meat consumption? And as we start to look at where population, look at the demographics around the world, as India becomes the most populous country in the world over the next 10 to 14 years, you're not going to see the same kind of consumption patterns. And as you look at consumption polls taken in Europe, young women are not eating meat. So while I think that trend over the next 10 to 15 years will still be somewhat intact, the rate of growth is going to slow dramatically, I think. And so that's something we have to look forward to. Then as we start to look at, as we come out of this recession worldwide, demand is going to come back up. And so there's three factors that I'd like to point out here in the last 5 minutes that I have that I think are going to be extremely important, three events that are really going to determine markets here. One is production levels. And there you've got the two components. You've got area and you've got yield. And if we don't see the yield increases that have been forecast by the seed companies that we've been looking at, going to the 275-plus corn yields in the U.S. as an average over the next 15 years or so, if we don't see those, then we're going to see a real pressure on the area component. And then we're going to go back to a situation where we are going to see a real pressure to try to open new lands. And that brings me to the second important point that I think we're going to have to be looking at is this whole notion of sustainability. Europe already has strict laws in terms of emissions and sustainable levels, carbon footprint, and I think we're going to see legislation this year in the U.S. There's a lot of the committees in Congress. Representative Waxman out of California says that he wants to see legislation this year in terms of sustainability. Where we go with that is really anybody's, I don't know for sure, but I think that we'll probably go and overstep our bounds in terms of legislation, and we're going to spend years maybe backtracking and try to reach something that really is sustainable. But I think that's the one issue that will really change agriculture. Looking out a little bit further, 2 to 5 years, that's going to be something, certainly on the processing end, that's going to really dictate to how we do business, change costs, and so that's going to be an important factor. And then the last thing that I'd like to throw out in terms of looking a little bit longer term is the whole system of credit, both in terms of how we do business from the processing end with our customers and how you do business as farmers. Right now in South America, most of the credit furnished to farmers doesn't come through banks and it doesn't come through government, but it comes through private industry furnishing credit. And I think we're on the cusp of seeing some major changes in the U.S., in terms of how credit is furnished and how credit is arrived at. And I think that's another issue that looking a little bit longer term here with this whole notion of sustainability with additional the carbon footprint, trading carbon credits, is going to be an issue that really changes things very dramatically. So I'm going to stop there. I think my time is up, and we'll address some questions during the panel portion. Thank you.